Hey, what's happening? This is Tracy Morgan, and you're listening to Radio Labyrinth. If you don't listen, I'm going to put a baby in your butthole.
Hey, Scruffy, you need a haircut? Got an idea for you. Go to MaryToddHairCo.com, find yourself an appointment, and get yourself a haircut. They also have hot lather shaves and some of the best colorists in the city. Don't believe me? Pick up your iPhone and go, hey, Siri, where can I get the best men's or women's haircut in Atlanta? Guess what? It's going to pop up Mary Todd Hair Co. Also, Mary Todd has a custom line of shampoo, pomades, beard oils, all handmade using the finest ingredients available. Did I say they're produced locally? Well, they are. Check them out at MaryToddHairCo.com/products.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
I love you, honey bunny.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks, move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks!
In a row?
Over the line!
Put that coffee down.
Why am I Mr. Pink?
Because you're a faggot, all right?
You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
What are you going to do about it, asshole?
Oh, what's in the box?
Give me the fucking keys, you fucking sucker motherfucker.
Knock it off. Get back. Number three, step forward.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
AK-47, the very best there is. When you absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker in the room, no substitutes.
How many fucking keys? You can't talk. What the fuck?
Grow up, Heather.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
He's black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
I'm gonna be on television.
Great, Pat Tabit. I got a motor if I want to be ready for that party tonight.
He looks like a fucking loser.
Hey, at least I'm housebroken.
Try not to suck any dick on the way to the parking lot.
Asshole.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Melk, and Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Is this an indie movie? And you guys are like, no. Is this an indie movie? No. Well, then what the fuck is an indie movie?
Well, you have to look it up.
Lots of movies are indie movies.
Well, I know that, but
I know
Indiana
that.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That is not an indie movie.
Well, see that.
Well, sort of. Yeah, kind of. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode. What episode is this? 87?
It is
87 of Radio Labyrinth. How you guys doing?
Good. Oh.
I don't think we need to do the introductions anymore.
Nah.
People know who we are.
No, I don't know who you guys are.
All right. My name is Tim Andrews. That's
Tim
Andrews.
Andrews.
Ira Malkin in the cap over there.
Hi.
Hi. Stephanie Swain.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
And you're Jeff Leboff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're Jeff Leboff. We were off last week. Jeff and I went out to dinner at, where'd we go?
One-eared stag.
Yeah, the one-eared stag. The one bald stag.
Did you get the meat stick?
No, Jeff got the meat stick.
I got the meat stick.
It was Monday night. I got a whole fried chicken.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah.
I ate that shit for the rest of the week.
I
should have done the
chicken.
Blues Brothers thing. Two fried chickens.
You can get two fried chickens.
Dry white toast.
And a Coke. And
it comes in quarter, whole, and two chickens.
Yeah.
That's how you can get it.
Where's one-eared stag?
Candler Park. Yeah.
Love the one-eared stag, man.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I've been there. It was really good.
Meat stick looked really good.
Yeah, it's like bacon and hamburger mixed together, and then like a bunch of American cheese and bacon on top. And
yeah.
Easily one of the best burgers I've ever had in my entire life.
Is it that good? What's the bacon do, man?
I don't know. It just marries with the meat, and it's just they do everything perfect there.
They marry the meat.
And there probably is like an added thing to the fact that the meat stick is not on the menu. It's an off-menu item, so you go in there, you know, feeling all kind of special
right.
that you know about it.
Isn't that a Fish song, meat stick?
No, maybe Moe?
I don't know. Sounds I'm going to Google it. You guys keep talking about the meat
stick. You think Meatwad ever ate a meat stick?
Yeah. You do Meatwad? I don't know.
Ooh, shut the hell up.
There you go. And it is a fish song, meat stick.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you about to do, Jeff? Are we about to have some over-the-top arm wrestling action going on over here?
This comes straight from the heart.
I didn't make a movie about arm wrestling. Yeah.
Hold on.
Get Kenny Loggins on the phone.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'll arm wrestle, Jeff. That'll be good radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a bunch of groaning.
My hat kept bumping into the microphone, so I turned it around.
I ate it in Avondale Estates just down the road from Palookaville.
Banjo Cold Brew Coffee.
And right next to Banjo Cold Brew Coffee. Was it Vinny's or Vince's? It's a hot dog joint, Chicago hot dog joint.
Chicago hot dogs.
And I had a cheesesteak. It was delicious.
Ooh.
Very affordable.
What was you doing in Avondale State?
I met with Sean and Lisa Saturday, and we went over there and had dinner.
Oh, delightful.
I got there after Steph. Steph did the first shift, and I did the second shift.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were there Saturday morning, right? Didn't you guys?
We went walking at Stone Mountain.
Was that the 4th of July?
4th of July morning.
4th of July morning.
Yeah, yeah. We went hiking through the woods up a nature trail.
My best friend.
And she gave me a Kevin Garvey leftovers.
I know. I saw
what?
That.
Funko.
What are you talking about?
You didn't see her picture.
Vinyl pops.
Yeah.
A vinyl pop. What's a vinyl pop?
The bobblehead thing.
Oh, yeah. Those things are cool. You can get those at my best friend's place or
Junkman's or
no, it's the comic book shop restaurant in Avondale Estates.
Right.
They have video games, a comic book shop, and then a restaurant.
I don't think you can get a Kevin.
My friend's basement. That's what it's called.
I don't think you can get a Kevin. I don't think you can get a leftovers one. That's pretty obscure.
Okay. Well, all this talk about food, I want to talk about burgers.
Burger
Box. You can go to burgerbox.com/labyrinth. Order yourself a Burger Box, and make yourself look cool. You know what I mean? Like all the cool kids are doing it. All the cool kids are having burgers. Not just the meat stick at One Eared Stag. You can have a meat stick right in your own home. Probably better than the meat stick, although that would be very challenging, considering it has bacon in it.
I don't know. That last one I had, the 420 thing from Burger Box.
Oh, yeah.
That might have rivaled the meat stick.
I mean, you're even cool to have that show up on your porch.
Oh, yeah.
And your neighbors look over and see Burger Box.
They're like, that's a box and there's a burger in it. I'm going to go steal
that. It's a big-ass burger, too.
Yeah, and we have new ones on the way, so more about that. But this week's episode, by the way, is brought to you by Burger Box. Now, what is Burger Box? Burger Box is like one of those, I don't know, they make it there and send it to you. Like, what's like Blue Apron. Kind of like Blue Apron, but not all the steak dinners and all that. It's these burgers.
And it's just like...
Sides and fixings.
Just like once a month or just one time to try it out.
Right.
You go to burgerbox.com/labyrinth. But you can get on the monthly thing. It's not like Blue Apron where you got to be cooking every single night.
Right.
And
I mean, that's if you're...
You treat yourself every once in a while.
Blue Apron is you got money and time. I mean, you know, you can go through the drive-thru and get yourself something to eat, take it home, feed your family for about $30, right? Or you can get Blue Apron and, I don't know, I'm not doing the math.
I don't want to be cooking every single night.
No.
Doing all that.
But it is nice once a week to treat yourself or even once a month to a quality hamburger, right?
Right.
All right. So, Burger Box, Burger of the Month. We want you to sign up for the Burger Box Burger of the Month. You just go to the website, burgerbox.com. You'll find it there. Sign up for the Burger of the Month Club. Listen, this is how it works. You join the monthly club and you never miss out on a Burger Box original recipe again. They ship your box on the third Wednesday of every month. Okay? Expect to receive it 1 to 2 days from shipping date. Upon receiving the box, either refrigerate, freeze, or cook it. And within 30 minutes, you'll enjoy the most mind-blowing meal you've had all month. They guarantee it. Wait to hear the announcement of each month's box the first of every month. All subscriptions can be paused, canceled, or renewed at any time. And don't say they didn't warn you. After you spread the news about your Burger Box subscription, expect to hear a lot of friends begging you to invite them over for dinner. Okay, so what comes in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Two never-before-seen 8-ounce burgers. One 16-ounce tray of over-the-top mac and cheese. And we can all attest that this is true, except for Ira. One 16-ounce tray of original recipe-loaded French fries. Two sides of coleslaw. Two sides of Boston's famous baked beans and easy-to-follow cooking instructions. Each month, For less than it costs to go to your local burger eatery, you can be part of culinary history. You and a special person, or three, depending on how much you want to share, will have an epic night to look forward to each month. They ship all the ingredients right to your kitchen, and you prepare the meal. This is for real burger lovers and not the faint of heart. Now listen, when it comes to the burger of the month, they can only accommodate a limited number of new members per month until they close on their new distribution facility. We want to help them grow right here at Radio Labyrinth. It's the ultimate gift for the person who has everything or who has nothing. Because, you know, people who are hungry deserve it.
I ate on that thing for 4 straight days.
Nice. You may cancel or pause at any time inside of your customer dashboard. It's backed by Chef Paul Malvoni. He's the guy who did Forget About It. It's 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not raving about the Burger Box, give them a call, and they'll promptly and courteously provide you with a new box or refund. Please note, if you order after the 10th, you'll receive next month's box. So what I'm going to tell you right now is what we're going to get, because we get to sample them. The July Burger Box, which none of you can get, because today's the day as we're recording it.
Right.
You get the Asian Persuasion. Now, I'm looking forward to this, because it's 2 8-ounce Angus beef patties.
Oh, round eye.
Wuss. Steph has to make the commercial racist.
No, she said... It's not real. It's, you
know. Okay.
Okay.
Am I
rounded? If I try to explain this, I'll be more racist.
Oh, automobile.
No time for burgers, Dr. Jones.
Oh, yanking my winky.
Yes. Wasabi dust. Homemade Asian slaw.
Now, see, that's just right up my alley.
Now, see, this is just on the burger, yeah. Okay? Now, the sweet and spicy fries, you get 1 pound of wedge-cut fries, sambal sweet sauce, and scallions. Mmm.
So you're going to take this box, Ira.
Now check this out.
Yeah, you're getting the box this month, Ira. Sweet.
You guys into the Asian or the Korean fusion foods?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Kimchi mac and cheese. 16 ounces of kimchi mac and cheese and an egg to put on top of it, plus the aforementioned Boston famous baked beans and the homemade some of these words are tough for me. Coleslaw. That's how you say it. When I was a kid, I said cold slaw. So, anyway,
You used to pronounce cauliflower weird, too, if I remember correctly.
I still do, and then I remember that you make fun of me about it. I said, what did I say? Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
I never said cauliflower. So it's burgerbox.com. That's burgerbox.com/labyrinth, labyrinth. Now, congratulations to Amber Gilpatrick. She was the first winner of the Burger Box giveaway, which we're going to do what? We're going to do that monthly, right?
Once a month, yeah.
Once a month we're going to do it. So you have plenty of time to sign up. We'll do a drawing in the first week of August. All you have to do is leave us a review at iTunes or sign up to be a patron.
At any level.
And we'll tell you more about that later. Let's get on with the show.
Jeff was eating that thing for 4 days.
4 days, I
did
ate
not
that
think
thing.
Once. To drive down the street, because we're very proximate to each other, and say, Ira,
did you
I brought
keep it under
some mac and cheese.
Did you keep it under your bed like Homer Simpson did with that sub?
How can
I blame
the sandwich?
This on you?
Yes.
No, I kept it all in my fridge, but like I said before, I made one of the burgers one day, and then one of the burgers another day.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I made just the fries another day, and the first day I just made the mac and cheese, and I was just eating that.
Yeah,
that was so good.
It was good, man. All of them. I was kind of...
You get a lot of bang for your buck.
Jones and Pials. And plus this one, my wife likes spicy foods, so she's going to love this Asian persona.
Oh, yeah.
I probably won't put the wasabi dust on mine. Not a big fan of the wasabi, but...
I like the wasabi.
If it's real wasabi, oh, yeah.
Well, it's dust. Good. I don't know what dust is.
I hate sushi, but I love wasabi.
Mm.
I put wasabi on anything.
I don't like anything.
Anytime there's an Asian version of some kind of American food when we're at a restaurant, mm-hmm. I always go for that.
Oh, you do? Like an Asian hat.
I always go for the Asian.
Yeah, sometime this week we should get our burger boxes. I'll call you and let you know, and we can meet up, and I'll give you
the entire
burger box.
The kids don't get nothing, so make sure that they go out. You and the wife.
No, seriously, there's going to be enough food in there, Ira. If you bought a couple hamburger rolls,
yeah,
like just two rolls, go to Publix and buy two hamburger rolls, you could split that.
Yeah, seriously, you could.
You could feed a family.
Cut the ones in half that they give you.
Sure. You could feed a family of four on this,
no
on
doubt.
This box.
You could make sliders out of them, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
But those buns are so good.
Yeah, that's what I would just make the two and then cut it in half. You eat half and give half to your
family.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
a big-ass hamburger.
Yeah.
I couldn't finish mine, and I'm a fat ass, and I could not finish
Stop it.
I'm serious.
Stop it with all that.
No
we'll
doubt.
Tell you, and like I said, we'll get to the patron thing later in the show. I'll tell you how to sign up. And also, again, just leave us a review. We do have a review this week. It comes from
what?
Oh, Lord.
He left us a review before.
Is he a snake?
Is that movie with Dirk Benedict?
Dirk Benedict?
It is.
Oh, my goodness. Did they give you a voice?
No, no voice. I'm just going to pick a voice. I don't care.
Christopher Walken.
The Kimmer.
All right.
I haven't heard the Kimmer in a while.
Craig,
I miss him.
Craig Gass.
I don't know. Craig Gass.
Speaking of.
Oh,
yeah, that
thank
was
you.
A great interview, man.
Oh, stop.
No, like really good.
You guys brought out the best in each other.
I could break it down and go through the whole thing and tell you how much I loved each section.
Oh, tell
we
me.
We don't
that.
Have time for that.
No, go ahead, please.
No, we don't have time.
Some highlights.
Don't show. Don't
some highlights.
Just flagellate him.
My favorite parts were when you would do an impression and he would be a professional impressionist comedian. Was just blown away by your impression.
Yeah, that was cool.
When blown away.
I miss Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, when he said I had to turn my head. And I got to say something about him. He is one of the most genuine people I've ever met. You know, he's a
that
celebrity. And I kind of look at him like because he's an impressionist and I always love those guys. But just how nice he was. He was nice to Jeff. Caitlyn went. Jeff left. And he said to me and Caitlin, hey, let's go hang out in the green room before the show starts, the next show. And he was just super nice. And
that's awesome.
He told us he had an interview with SNL coming up.
Yeah, I wonder how that went. Wow. You should email him and see, because that was supposed to be last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wednesday or something.
And because of his relationship with Dana Carvey from
First Impressions.
First Impressions. He showed us an email. He was like, what should I do?
Holy shit.
Yeah. He's so genuine that he knows that he's lucky because of his skill. Not lucky, but, you know, he's lucky to be in that entertainment world. And he loves it, and he makes friends wherever he goes. So,
but in that interview, you know, he put things out there. He was a little self-deprecating, but in a way where we saw, like, the inside Family Guy stuff that he did, his auditions. I mean, he didn't have to tell him that Seth MacFarlane kind of blew him off a little bit.
Which
is a great story.
Yeah.
But you would think somebody with any bigger ego probably wouldn't even bring that up, you know, like, oh, yeah, I hung out with Seth.
See, I don't think that, you're right. I don't think Craig has an ego.
That's what I'm saying.
And if he does, I don't see it in him. I don't see it in him. You say hi to him, and he's just really cool about it. So I want to thank him again. And last week when we were off, I did that Declaration of Independence thing. So if you haven't heard that, check that out.
That was really good.
Oh, thank you.
That was
just
really
fishing for compliments. So nice.
Yeah, you were so humble in your interview. You were like, I'm just a mimic.
Yeah.
It's mimic people.
Well, I am. I don't consider myself an impressionist.
Well,
he's an impressionist. He works it and works it and works it and works it until he gets it. If I don't get it on the first pass, I usually give it up.
See, that's cool when you guys were breaking down. Well, in the whole the Gene Simmons section.
Yeah, I loved it when you were doing your Paul Stanley and he was doing his Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons.
See, his sounds exactly like Paul Stanley.
Yeah. Yours is more of a character.
Yeah, mine's just like, hey, I'm effeminate and I'm a weirdo. And
but you could almost say that's funnier.
Yeah, I guess.
Because when you get exaggerated, it gets funny.
Right.
You know? And then you broke down somebody's voice at the end where you were, it was like an impressionist asking another impressionist, see, how do you get the airflow and the nasal? Who are you guys doing?
I don't remember.
It was right at the end, and then you guys did some Jerky Boy stuff, and he was cracking up, you know?
And then we went out, when I escorted him out of the building, we ended up talking for another 20 minutes. He goes, let's just go back and record this. I gotta go. Yeah. No, come on, let's go back. No, I gotta go home. I got yard shit to do.
See, he wanted to hang.
I know.
I'm sure it helps that he's a true radio guy, too, so.
Yeah, well, he came from radio.
Yeah.
And
he
worked for Stern, which is awesome, too.
Oh, and that whole story, I mean, his whole family is deaf, and that's how he kind of
started. Know that.
That's an amazing story, because he didn't really learn how to talk from around the house because nobody was talking.
Right.
So he had to mimic everything on TV. That's amazing.
Well, I just got an email or a Facebook message from somebody who was listening to The Doctor in the day. He says, dude, your Jason Bailey impressions are so on point. I was literally crying today listening to you on The Doctor.
It was really good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
What?
I saw that last night.
My favorite thing you said today was the caramel suppository. That
kind of got lost.
That killed me. That killed me.
All right, you were talking about snorting the chocolate.
Yeah.
Did you guys do the whole morning? I must have missed a lot today.
And we did the radio show, and then we did the hour, and then we did the half hour.
You know what? I didn't hear
Facebook
the podcast
stuff.
Hour.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So,
the review.
What?
The review.
The review. I'm not going to read it as the Kimmer.
Christopher Walken.
No, I'm going to read it as Don Imus.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I don't know who Don Imus is. He is a New York City DJ. Well, he used to be a DJ when 66WNBC... played music back in the day. He was some wacky morning guy. Moby Worm's coming to your town. He's going to eat everything. But in the 90s, he ended up being a talkative of politics, and he would hang out with Bo Deedle.
What color is he?
Yeah, what color is he? 750. Let's go to my brother Fred out at the Imus Ranch where the little kid slaves are making belts for rich people. This review comes to Radio Labyrinth by says, 5 stars. I love y'all. Buddy already knew that, so if we don't, I'll say it again. I love y'all. Such a fun podcast with a fun and awesome cast. Thanks for all the miles of smiles. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, thank you good so review. Much.
Smiles and smiles.
Yes. God, there's so much to get to. I like having so much on the table. I mean, we've got a lot of shit we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about our favorite indie films of all time. We're going to give some updates on Blood Drive, Preacher.
Oh, Blood Drive.
Snowfall, Tour de Pharmacy, some of the new things that are out. But y'all, you were on vacation last week. You went to Jersey. Anything fun happened there?
Yeah, Chris Christie wouldn't let us on the fucking beach.
No, I was kidding.
So you couldn't. So the governor of New Jersey,
we were
big
fine.
Fat jack off.
Yeah.
Who? The guy's a prick.
He just does not give a shit anymore.
So he took his whole family, and they're sitting in the middle of this fucking beach all by themselves after he shut down.
This is what I found out. Well, I had to figure it out, too. Because everybody's texting me going, are you allowed on the beach up there? I'm like, yeah, we're out here. There's like a million Jews out in Margate on the beach. Everybody's kvetching and complaining about, it's so hot. It's humid. It's hot. It's humid. Where's the ice cream guy?
Hey.
You have change for a 20.
All right, so break down the Christie, New Jersey.
He closed down the state beaches.
Okay.
Which I didn't even know what that was. I was like, okay, I'm trying to tell my dad, and we're having this.
Like Wildwood is the state?
No, see, that's the thing. So like the beaches where I was, Atlantic City, Margate,
right.
Ventnor, Wildwood, blah, 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 were fine because they're city or county or something.
Cape May.
Yeah, you're good. Avalon.
Yeah.
Anyway. The state beaches, I guess, are where the state parks are on the beach.
Okay.
Like by Red Bank, there's one. Okay. It was closed. I don't know what that beach is
so
called.
I don't think it was that many.
So the one he was at, though, was that a state beach or was it a private
wasn't
beach?
Wasn't that like right in front of his
so he has a
state
beach house.
Owned house or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, he shouldn't have been out there then, the fucker.
I don't know. I don't know the full story there, but he should not have been out. That his family shouldn't have been out there.
No.
That beach that he was on was technically closed due to him.
How does he keep getting reelected? I guess he's done. I don't know.
Oh, he is done. I think this is what my dad was saying. You know, my dad up there listening to, I should have recorded that. That was
right.
Fucking funny. But he's like, you know, this prick, I mean, he's already at like 15%. I think he's just like, fuck it. Let's see if we can get down to 10% approval.
We thought it would be funny to close all the beaches.
Right? The last time a beach was closed on the 4th of July was during Jaws.
Right.
And then he's sitting out there with his fupa on full display.
That's a meme now.
Did you see all the memes?
A lot of them.
They're great.
I'm sure I haven't seen all of them.
Those memes are great.
Those memes are great. All the anti-CNN memes are great because it just makes them upset. That's the only reason I like it because they get their feathers ruffled.
Yeah.
That was last week, too, the kerfuffle over that.
The
Donald Trump clotheslining the CNN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Which, the whole thing is stupid.
Well, I know it is, but it's great. It's entertainment. Yeah. What else do we have? Nothing's getting done. We might as well laugh.
I was glad to hear that Eric was off last week because I was sitting there at the beach going, shit, I'm missing a whole week of doctrine.
What, Jeff?
Some guy on Reddit got in trouble for that. I don't know. I think he created that.
He didn't get in trouble.
Or something.
He didn't even create it. He shared it. Donald Trump retweeted it.
Yeah.
And they found out who originally, they found his Twitter, this guy. They found his Twitter. And then they found his Reddit. And they found all the racist stuff that he posted on Reddit. You know, memes, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to hell for this is one of the subreddits where you can find stuff like this. But these are pretty bad things. You find them on The Donald as well, which is a subreddit that's pretty controversial. But there was one that this guy had shared. It was every person who is Jewish that works at CNN, their profile picture from CNN's website and one giant macro image. And a Star of David above their heads.
Oh, Jesus.
So saying, who controls the media, whatever, who controls CNN. So it's very anti-Semitic, certainly anti-Jewish. And that's what Chris Cuomo was saying on Twitter and the other, Jim Acosta and all these people from CNN. But it's stupid. The president retweeted it. Okay, it's juvenile and dumb. But he did it. And in a way, it's funny. So just let it go. But CNN makes it, we're being attacked. And then that's all the media talks about is, oh, the media, blah, 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 blah. And they're all acting like jerks. And then they go to this private citizen and threaten him. Now, he apologized and everything. And I'm sure he did that so he didn't get outed and lose his job for being a racist.
Right.
Right.
A pig. But you don't post shit like, whatever.
Well, if our president didn't retweet it, he would have done that. And nobody would have even known or cared or whatever.
Right. But CNN, all of them, they can all just go fuck themselves.
Well, and our president shouldn't.
Bars
retweet Manjaro. Stuff like that.
Well, he's going to
do presidential shit, please.
He's going to. So
all I give a shit about is what is going to happen to my insurance premiums. That's all I care about, because it's like so many people are under the impression that if you are not in this Obamacare crap, that this isn't going to affect you, or if you're not on Medicaid,
sure, it will.
This is going to fucking affect you. I work in the insurance industry. Yep. I watch the Obamacare shit. It already affected you.
Right.
You think this isn't going to affect you? It's going to affect all of us. So it is very important, whatever the hell they decide, it's going to crush us all if they do the wrong thing.
Well,
so.
Senator Gimpy will protect us. My friend. Oh, fart. Anyway, enough of that shit.
I mean, thank you.
Enough of that shit. Let's talk some TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, you didn't finish talking about your vacation. Oh, yeah. Did you have a nice vacation?
Oh, I could tell you about... I think there was one point during the week my mother made me go back to Acme and return Wonder
Acme.
Bread
Acme's
and get $2 in cash.
What?
what's the bread?
We brought the wrong bread, so I had to take it back.
Should have liked the white bread.
The $2.
Acme. I haven't seen an Acme.
There's an Acme at the beach.
You pick up an anvil, too?
Are you not familiar with Acme?
You were supposed to get the
marble. No, there's an actual Acme store.
Yeah, Acme
store.
Grocery store
Acme
chain.
Oh, it's stores. Not just for Wile E. Coyote?
No.
It's a real thing?
No.
You were supposed to get the marble rye, and you got the white. White bread.
How are we gonna make Reubens with this?
Ira, how can we have Reubens?
It was like a Woody Allen movie when I got back. So you went up to the customer service, right? And I said, yeah, I got the $2. So what did she say? Did she ask you why you're returning? I said, yeah, we got the wrong bread. She said, was there anything wrong with it? I said, no, there was nothing wrong. It was a whole thing.
It's dynamite ham.
No, I mean I will say, you know, there's not much to say about the vacation. It was great. But if anybody has never been to the Jersey Shore in those areas near Atlantic City or anywhere up there, I would suggest trying it once, especially if you have kids.
It's the best beach up there.
It's just cool, man. It's
no,
like
what is the best
beach? What is the best mm-hmm. beach? It depends on what you're looking for. Like for the kids, I'd say Ocean City.
What if you want to that's in Maryland, isn't
There's
it?
There's one in Jersey, which, you know, all the rides and the boardwalk stuff.
Where can you see
it looks like the 50s.
Meathead yeah. Italians with their hair slicked back.
Wildwood.
Okay, yeah, I know.
They're right.
Where can I get a mirror of Motley Crue?
You still can. In
I know you can. I haven't been to Wildwood, New Jersey since 1988.
Where can you record Home Sweet Home by?
87, actually. Yeah.
Motley Crue.
I was probably there the same year.
I never did that.
Oh, you didn't?
Yes, I did. I have a copy of it still. Home Sweet Home. It's terrible. Oh, you know, they had those recording booths. You'd go in and you could do a karaoke thing and then get the cassette.
I did that once.
Yeah, I did that there.
That or Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
That's always a
and it was
hit.
87. The summer of 87 was after the hurricane hit Wildwood or something.
Do you want to hear, you want to laugh your ass off? You know what song I did?
No. What did you do?
Parents Just Don't Understand.
Oh,
do you still have it?
Fuck no.
Liar. But, you know you have it.
Shut up, man.
We got to get that and play it. We got to get that.
And it was
and
a video.
It. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Steph, you did some dog saving.
I did. Yeah. The fur kids thing, that actually did work out. They went and picked that dog up today, so that ended up working out. But I went to, I did my first day at Gwinnett County Animal Shelter Saturday.
Yeah.
And, I was dreading it. I was very scared because, you know, it's not a no-kill shelter. It's, you know,
right.
they got to do what they got to do there. They're working towards it. But I was pleasantly surprised. It was really nice. I spent about 6.5 hours there. And the corrections officer. See, it threw me off because they have inmates working there. They have female inmates.
Right.
So it was a lot of very Orange is the New Black.
Warden?
You know, it was like, you know. So there's that going on. Yeah, I was telling Tim there's a lot of... No, but I'd say there was 10 or 11 inmates and about 5 teeth between them. Mm. But they were all very, very nice women. Very, very nice. And the animal control officers, man, these are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And they really care about these dogs. I mean,
of course. That's great.
They pick them up and, like, they would come in and they'd say, well, what's happened with my dachshund? Did anybody reclaim my dachshund? I mean, like, when they pick up these dogs, mm-hmm. they become attached to them and they really are rooting for them and hoping that somebody comes and gets them or that they get adopted or whatever. And I can't say enough about their whole operation there. It's really cool. And they told me I'll definitely, there'll be some sad times. There'll be dogs that get put down and it just is what it, because they have so many pit bulls.
Who
they
has
just
to do,
do
that? Do you have to do that?
No, Jeff. No, I don't.
Yeah, they give her a club.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I just beat him to death. But for the dogs
take him out
that
to
you
Dr.
put
C, Dr. Shovel.
It's terrible.
A lot of the dogs that get put down, I'll never even meet because they have a bite area.
Right.
Which I don't ever see those dogs. Those are most of the dogs that get put down because they've been picked up for bites and stuff like that. But anyway.
We don't want this one no more. He ain't cute.
Why are people biting dogs?
Yeah.
Stupid ass. Really.
Well, so, oh, no, I'm curious that you just kind of glossed over it. You had to do a home visit for fur kids?
I haven't done anything for fur kids in a while, but they had something going on where there was somebody that was fostering a dog in Lawrenceville, and they did not have transportation to get the dog to a neuter appointment. And they, you know, sent out an email, hey, if anybody lives close by, can you pick up this dog, take it to a neuter appointment, and bring it home? And so I threw my hat in the ring. I was like, well, I'll do it. I'm out here or whatever. So I picked the dog up, and the house looked kind of janky when I picked up the dog, but I didn't get a really good look at it.
Janky?
Janky. And the dog is awesome. He was like some shepherd mix. He was cool as shit.
Yeah, you sent a picture of him. He was
amazing.
Adorable.
His dog named Chief. He was awesome. So I take Chief, get him neutered or whatever, then I picked him up after work, and I take him back. Well, when I take him back, I go all the way up to the porch, and it's like, you saw the pictures.
I did.
There's a fucking tether going from this rickety-ass porch, the gas can, garbage everywhere. I mean, it was like a picture that you would say, this is what you wouldn't do with a dog. Like
Sarah McLachlan music playing.
There should be a line through it. The whole thing looked weird to me. And the dog like didn't want to go back in. So we went back to my car. I got my phone and then I took pictures. I was like, what the fuck? Because this is totally not up to fur kid standards. This did not make any sense at all to me. So I sent the pictures to him and something happened. There's been like a transition. I guess somebody got canned and nobody did a home check.
Okay.
And some heads got rolled when this found out. So they went and picked up the dog today because they found out. I guess the person that got canned didn't do the home check. This was one that slipped through
the cracks. What do they say to the people that don't meet the criteria?
I don't know what they said, but they went and got the dog.
Sorry, you can't have this animal, you loser.
They were just
you're a loser.
Yeah, this ain't going to work.
Yeah, they were just like, no. This is, you're not up to our standards. So, no, I'm sorry. But it looked like a house that you would take a dog from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the Gwinnett County would come and get the dog and take it to the
shelter. It looked like that.
Yeah.
Not to besmirch somebody if they can't afford it.
No, that's the fucked up part is that this lady was so nice.
Oh.
She was so, so nice. And I don't doubt that she actually really liked the dog. But
well, she can get her shit together and get the dog back.
No.
That ain't going to happen.
No. Probably. She's like ignorant. AF.
That's ignorant.
Anyway.
No, that's ignorant.
That's ignorant.
Yeah.
It's ignorant.
This is ignorant.
It's ignorant.
No, not one of our dogs.
All right. Jeff, did you do anything fun last week? Hey, did you go see Impractical Jokers Sunday night?
No, I did not.
Why not?
Oh,
they're your favorite.
I love the Impractical Jokers, but I'm going on that cruise in November, which just sold out.
Okay.
Today, actually.
Didn't want me to be your bunkmate on the...
And
you always shaft me, Levo.
I had a feeling that it would be the same show on the cruise as this tour, so I didn't want to see this
tour.
That's
smart.
Yeah.
The producer from Von Hessel,
Jared,
Doctor,
he told me about it.
He what? Wait.
Jared from the...
Said.
Yamamoto went.
Oh, he went.
Sunday
night.
Good crowd, and they said they hoped to come back to Atlanta soon, and it was funny, and blah, blah, blah.
And you went to see Metallica.
Yeah, how was that?
I'll tell you what, I was surprisingly impressed more than
I
thought I would be.
Did you drive there?
Well, no. Oh, there's a story there, and I can't go on and on. But no, we Ubered because we did get some promos. So we got out there with Uber for free. And, you know, they have a whole thing now where there's a special Uber drop-off, and there's a special Uber pickup at the end of the night. And it was a little hectic getting out there, but it was cheap. You know, we got out there for free. So we're asking the Uber driver the pickup at the end of the night. How is this going to work? Because we're talking 50,000 people here coming out of this concert. And what, you wait in a line, and then you're just supposed to take the first Uber that pulls up. You get like a pin or something like that. But still, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this isn't going to fucking work. Mm. This is going to be a cluster, you know? And even our Uber driver was like, yeah, it works. I've done it before.
Right.
I'll tell you what. We got out at the end of the night, and it was just a sea of people with their phones in the air going, are you Jared? Hello? Are you James? And it was, so that didn't work. And we were fucked. I mean, we could not get an Uber. And finally, I got one guy. I mean, we were sitting there an hour. just in a sea of people.
Yeah, you could walk home from there, Ira.
Almost. I mean, we were we're pretty close. And I got this one guy who was like, all right, I got you. He's like, don't cancel it. He's like, I got you, man. And I was like, all right, well, where are you? And I'm looking, he's like way out. He's like at Windy Hill, you know. And he's like, I'm stuck in traffic, but I'm coming around. I had to meet him at a Taco Bell.
Wait, what Taco Bell? The one around?
The one at Cobb Parkway.
Yeah, I know where that is.
And Cumberland. Well, anyway, good set list. And, you know, Avenged Sevenfold opened with a couple other bands. You know that band?
Yeah.
The good thing about Avenged Sevenfold is, I'm not crazy about all their stuff, but they have those, every solo is a dual, or is a dual harmony guitar solo between the two of those guys, and they're killer, but their sound wasn't that great, and, you know, overall, it was that whole thing where you go to an arena, and it's, like, way too echoey and boomy, and so I was like, oh, shit, is this gonna sound like this all night, you know, but Metallica came out, and it sounded phenomenal, it sounded really good.
Did they do Disposable Heroes?
I was supposed to look at the set list, and they did Disposable Heroes,
and it sounded
good. Remember,
it sounded good.
That
did they do
good.
One?
They did one.
What was the encore?
I know I was supposed to look at the Jeff. Do you got the set list?
I'm looking it up right now.
Did they do anything?
They did Seek and Destroy, which was killer.
Did anything from Ride the Lightning? Of course they did.
They did Master of Puppets. They did.
That's not from Ride the Lightning.
The Ecstasy.
No,
Gold,
I'm just going through it.
Hardwired. Atlas Rise, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Creeping Death, Unforgiven.
Now
That We're Dead, Moth into Flame, Wherever I May Roam, Halo on Fire, Sad But True, One, Master of Puppets, Fade to Black, Seek and Destroy.
Right.
Then three song encore, Battery.
Right. Oh, that is killer.
Nothing Else Matters and Enter Sandman.
Smashing Through the Boundaries. They didn't play Fuel. What a ripoff.
Could have done with Nothing Else Matters. I like the tune, but not a great line.
Yeah, it's too slow.
I had a friend who banged Kirk Hammett in a room full of people.
Last night?
No. It was on the Injustice for All tour.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
89.
Yeah.
Damn. I saw them
in a room full of people.
Really?
Yeah.
For Who the
I didn't
Bell
bang
Tolls was killer.
Yeah.
Battery was killer. Yeah, and then, you know, Seek and Destroy, they kind of came out to the
Time
middle of the arena.
Is on.
Yeah. 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 It was good. And, you know.
Was that too loud?
A little for a second there it was. But I'll get my hearing back eventually.
All right, I'm sorry. Like my transitions? Yes. Who watched Preacher?
I'm
not caught up, but you guys go ahead. Don't worry.
No.
I'm kind of
Yeah, you're eh-ing it. Yeah.
I'm a little
You're noping it.
I'm
no way.
He's negging it.
I'm negging it. I'll tell you what, and that might be my problem. I'm not a fan of hers.
Who, Ruth Negga?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Negga.
Why not?
That does not sound good.
She does not look like the character in the comic book at all. But
Negga,
she's his real-life girlfriend.
Right.
So they got to give her the job.
Yeah, in the comic book, she had blonde hair.
Yeah.
In the comic book, she had blonde hair.
And she was much more demure in the comic book, from what I understand.
Right. I like her. I like the character.
I do, too.
Yeah. I'm not going to nope it, but I'm on the second episode, or I'm on the third episode, and I'm just not rushing to finish everything so quickly.
Well, episode 3 is called Damsels. Jesse, Tulip, and Cassidy get a tip that God's in New Orleans. Tulip's hiding a secret. Of course, her ex-husband is there and angry with her, and she doesn't want to get exposed there. Well, we start out the episode with Eugene in hell reliving over and over and over the experience that led him to be called Arseface. I didn't know that. I don't remember that from the comic book. But his friend Tracy, you remember the girl with the wig in season 1 who was laying in bed?
Not that bitch. Now we know she deserved every bit of that.
Yeah. Well, her boyfriend cheated on her, so she's trying to kill herself, or is saying she's going to kill herself with a shotgun.
Because he cheated on her with a 5, and she can't bear the thought of anybody. It was very Heathers.
Yes, and I was thinking that same thing.
Yeah.
And Eugene comes over to help her out, and Eugene is Arseface. Comes over because they're friends, and then he talks her out of it, and he goes in for the kiss. And then she says, oh, the best I can do is you, and she decides to kill herself.
It's like the thought, she thinks because that her boyfriend has cheated on her with a 5, that now makes Eugene think that he can kiss her.
Yes.
So she's like, fuck this, I'd rather be dead.
Right. And then, you know, she shoots herself, and he tries to stuff her brains back into
her.
That was pretty gross.
It was so gross. And her eyes were flittering.
The mom's pounding on the door.
Yeah.
And he burns the suicide note.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
Now he can't prove that she was trying to kill herself.
And then he puts the gun to his face, and that's how he becomes Arseface.
And then he has to relive that over and over and over because that's his hell.
Yes. And eventually he finds his way out, but we don't see that until the end. Not out of hell, but out of his cell. Hell in a Cell, WWE, this
you
Sunday.
Saw Hitler was his neighbor.
Yes, Hitler is his neighbor. Adolf is the character's name, Adolf. The episode I thought was really good, though. There was some foreshadowing to stuff that's going to happen later on, and then we get to see some new characters that are going to be introduced next week that are very famous in the comic book.
Yep.
So I can't wait for that.
Is that Jazz Bitch? Is she like a big deal in the comic book?
Yeah, she's part of the, what do you call it, that group of people that are chasing after Preacher.
Yeah, they want him for his powers, so she tricked him. Actually, that woman looks like Tulip in the comic book.
Yeah, kind of.
For the Genesis device.
Okie doke.
Okie doke.
Captain Kirk, you don't want to give me the Genesis device?
That was funny, though, that whole montage of him going from bar to bar to bar. That was very funny.
Yep. And that fight scene was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how Cassidy tricked some old man into letting them stay at his house.
Yeah. What's going on with that sex dog?
What sex dog?
When they were going back there to, they thought they were going to meet God, and it was somebody dressed up like a dog, and it was some sex show, and they were like, no, we don't want to see this.
That was God, though.
That was God?
And there's the dog.
Oh.
That's what people are saying online, in the forums.
Oh.
So the episode, you know, you watch it for yourself, but you get to the end, and Arseface, Eugene, gets out of his cell, and Hitler, Adolf, is standing behind him. And I thought the guy looked familiar, so I looked it up on IMDb. The actor's Noah Taylor. You know him. He was a Bolton soldier named Locke in season 3 of Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He was a real prick on Game of Thrones. But he was also, he played Adolf Hitler in John Cusack's 2002 movie Max. Remember that movie? Max took place in between, right after World War I, with all the veterans in Vienna walking around. And Hitler wanted to be an artist, and Max was an avant-garde artist, veteran of World War
I. Oh, yeah, I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
And Hitler starts meeting these right-wingers and starts doing the speeches and then designing the Nazi outfits. Good movie.
Yeah?
Not true, any of it, but.
No?
No, it's not real.
He's kind of typecast, I guess.
I only like nonfiction.
And, you know, John Cusack and the directors of that film got in a lot of trouble because they was like, you're humanizing Hitler. Well, he was a human being. Before he was Hitler, he was just some guy named Adolf Hitler who was a corporal in the German army.
I heard Bill Burr on his podcast. He was talking about how they're trying to tear down his Hitler's childhood home.
Yeah.
And he wants to get over there and he wants to see it before they tear it down, but only because he finds it fascinating because, you know, that's like... That's where a psychopath took his first little steps. He's like,
yeah.
You know, that's where he first got angry.
Yeah.
When he first had his first fits. You know?
These blocks must be destroyed.
And his first tantrums.
Yes.
Who built these? The Jews? Yes.
Speaking of World War I, I saw Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How was it?
Loved it. Did you guys, you've all seen it, right?
I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
Steph and I have a date to go together.
I want to go see it.
It's good. No SJW bullshit, just a good movie.
I believe you.
Gal Gadot, you can't take your eyes off of her. She's so stunningly beautiful.
She is gorgeous.
I've heard that.
And she kicks ass. But, I mean, she's just beautiful. The face, the lips that never seem to close.
Yeah, my dad was talking about her while I was listening.
Gal Gadot.
He's like, you haven't seen Wonder Woman?
She was in the IDF.
Huh?
She was in the IDF.
The IDF.
Oh, you don't know what that is?
No.
Israeli Defense Force.
Oh, yes. That, yeah.
Oh, that.
Why would I know what that is?
Well, I thought all Jews knew.
Yeah, we are.
I don't understand why you're being so obstinate about Baby Driver.
Oh,
you're being obstinate about
it. I am being obstinate.
To see it.
It's pissing me off.
I'm telling you why I'm being obstinate about it, because no one will shut up about it.
Because it's so fucking good.
Yeah, it's so good, man.
And all you right, have to see it in the goddamn theater to understand.
You saw it, too?
Yeah, I saw it. So
again.
Good. Yeah.
Jeff went to the theater and saw it, actually. He didn't watch it on... his computer.
He doesn't do that.
It gets you, and I'm telling you, and it's like that scene in Shaun of the Dead with the pool stick.
Yeah.
The whole movie is that.
Okay.
The whole movie. It's every single thing is cued to the damn music, to the fucking beat, and just locked in.
All right. Well,
and it's like Edgar Wright's answer to the Fast and the Furious bullshit movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like his answer to Tarantino movies, mm-hmm. and like just
a man
so
like yourself
good.
Who loves music.
Yeah.
And loves action.
Isn't it all hip-hop?
No, not even. Okay. It's all oldies and classic shit. There's there's one hip hop song.
The Kiss song Baby Driver is not featured in the movie.
Fucking
though.
Hocus Pocus. I mean, he pulls out.
I know Moore Stiggs from Fox 5 is in it. I'm Fox. I'm Moore Stiggs. Fox 5. News. Fox 5 Nightbeat. I'm Moore Stiggs. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay, he's in it.
Yes, I know. And this was the whole movie's a love letter to Atlanta.
I know. I read that article about it, which is cool.
It's the most Atlanta movie I've ever seen.
Well, when he heard that
even more than Gone with the Wind,
he was like, fuck it, I'm changing the script.
All right, I'll go see it.
You
can go see it. I saw Spider-Man Homecoming too. That was real good.
So you haven't seen it. You and
I'm dying to see that.
Well, last week I was trying to get everybody else to go see Despicable Me 3, which I do want to see.
You saw Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yep.
Was it good?
Yeah, real good.
Nice.
Best Spider-Man ever.
No, it can't be Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, no, totally better.
Nah.
Our friend Dave agrees with you that the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is better, but I like
I can't make the assessment. I can't say for sure.
He's the best Peter Parker ever. I'll say that.
I will.
As far as the Spider-Man part, it's all CGI, so, you know, who...
So is Sam Raimi.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say it's all they're all CGI, but his Peter Parker was the best Peter Parker, in my opinion.
I knew that when I saw that. Was it Civil War or was it the last Avengers movie?
Yeah, the last Avengers movie.
Well, was it Civil War or Avengers? I think it was Civil War.
Yeah.
Captain America Civil War.
When I saw that, that's the first time I've ever seen Spider-Man on film acting like Peter Parker acted, the wisecracks and being a smart aleck. It's really captures
And being
the,
a kid, a high school
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, being a kid. Right. So that's cool, yeah.
People are losing their crap over this movie. I really want to see it.
And then the new characters, I like how the director took, you know, he's a high school kid in Queens, and so they made it look like a modern high school in Queens. It's not all lily white.
It did not look like Atlanta at all. I was surprised.
But then MJ now is Zendaya. How do you say her name? Zendaya?
Zendaya
is MJ. And that's one of those things like, yes, let it evolve. Let it go, man. That's some
Spoiler
good shit.
Alert.
Well, she says it at the end.
Yeah.
Call me MJ.
R.I.P. Stanley's wife, by the way.
Yeah. Joan. That's rest in peace.
Paul Stanley's wife.
Stanley's wife.
Stanley.
Oh.
I don't have a wife.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do or not. I don't know. So back to TV for a second. Back to TV. That's why it's a labyrinth, right?
Yes. Yeah, but go see Baby Driver, dude.
Go see Baby Driver.
I will.
I like that Steph's mad about you not wanting to go see
it. Well,
like,
you know, I do. I know what you're saying, though, because I felt the same way about Get Out. Because I'm like, there's no way this movie's going to live up to the hype.
I felt that way, and then I watched it.
Me too.
It's fucking awesome.
It is so awesome. I finally watched it last weekend. It is
get
so
out.
Fucking good. Yes,
is it out
get
there now?
Out.
Where is it?
It's at Redbox.
Oh, he'll be around in a minute. Get back under the table.
I woke up one day over the weekend, and I was mad at you for not watching Silicon Valley.
Why were you woke up mad?
I don't know why I woke up mad at you for not watching.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
He was dreaming about you, Tim.
It's not that I don't want to. It's just that I don't. I mean, I know it's funny. I watched the first episode and
there's just too much shit to watch. We can't get everything.
I know, but it's only a half hour and it's like
true.
So...
Are you
going
to be mad at me when I tell you that I watched Friday night? Caitlin wanted to watch a movie. She fell asleep. She always falls asleep, but she wanted to watch a movie, so I put on Idiocracy.
Oh, nice.
That's so good.
Yeah
but I can at least watch the first half hour.
That was part of why I was mad. I must have had a dream about you or something, because it's Mike Judge, and he's so fucking funny.
I know. You left him with blue balls in the dream. He was pissed.
Damn. All right, who watched Blood Drive episode 4?
Yes!
This has become my...
Blood Drive!
This is my favorite show.
Me too.
This is the show that I look forward to.
And it's not supposed to be, but it is.
No, it's supposed to suck, but... not suck, but it's... But yes. Everything about it...
It knows it sucks.
The promos, the teaser for next week's episode makes it look great. It's just fucking great. So in this episode, it's called In the Crimson Halls of Cane Hill. Cane Hill being the lunatic asylum. Yeah, this episode had cannibals, crazy people... where it's perpetually Halloween, lunatics running the asylum, psychotic candy, and of course, lots of blood. Grace,
shit being thrown on the wall.
Grace and Arthur go to the asylum to look for Grace's sister, Karma. Karma ain't there, and now they have to...
Oh, those flashbacks.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Steph.
Yeah, I mean, hot.
You don't have to apologize to me. I mean, it's not like I'm blind. Not like I don't know this woman isn't devastatingly beautiful.
She's
I fucking
the
hate her.
Chick on television.
She is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
She is gorgeous. And you know, she's in her 30s looking
good,
like that.
Damn. I wonder what she looked like in her 20s.
She used to be the sister. She was the sister like on Modern Family. She was Sofia Vergara's sister on Modern Family.
Okay. I didn't watch that.
This episode was just fucking amazing. And it's so
cheesy.
Did
you like the fisting?
Yes.
The milkening.
The milkening. And she, it wasn't just like gentle fisting. It was ramrod.
She's got to pluck those apples out.
So the premise of this episode is...
You can't describe this show.
I mean, for Christopher. For Christopher is the cop's partner, is Arthur's partner. And he's strapped down to... What's the name of that corporation?
Heart Corporation.
Strapped down in Aki. The robot lady is drawing all those fluids. So they get all these fluids from him, from the ass.
She said she needs all his fluids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And then you keep thinking that she's going to fuck him or whatever because she's wearing sexy outfits and making out with him and stuff. And she has to get a semen sample. So she starts giving
Do you want the probe or the hand?
Yeah, probe or the hand. And he says, I'll take the hand. And she's giving him this hand job. And he's like, oh, this is great. And then it just becomes a jackhammer. And he's, and then finally she gets a tear, which is the only fluid she really needed.
Yes.
And then the shit that happened in the whole thing of them fighting their way out to get to rib bone.
Rib bone.
Yeah. Oh,
rest
yeah.
in peace, rib bone.
Yeah. Yeah. They threw all that candy on him.
Yeah.
He got eight.
That little video.
The bonus thing?
Yeah, the bonus thing where he's like, oh, you're making a documentary. All right, get in there and take a look.
Yeah, right.
I feel bad for his dog, though. His dog's in.
But he's talking about his truck, like, yeah, it's a little testy, this truck, you know, it's an older truck. It's a,
yeah.
You know, but when we had to retrofit it, just didn't really like it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I like the twist, too, when they found...
Slink?
When Grace found that picture of Slink from the 50s. So what is Slink? I guess he's...
A vampire, I think.
A vampire?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that at Mary Todd named Jumpy, he knows a lot about TV and movies, and we talk quite a bit. There was a movie that came out in 2007 called Blood Car, and it was made by some guys in Atlanta. I don't know who they are, but I'm sure one of our listeners has heard of this. It's called Blood Car, and it's a car, and there's a race, and the cars run on blood.
Ooh,
so I wonder if there's...
Copyright.
No, I don't know. I think there might be some sort of creative collusion, collusion being the word of the day in the United States.
Right.
Anyway, if you guys haven't watched Blood Drive yet, it really has become. I mean, I watch it with a smile on my face.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
just fun.
Yeah, it's a blast
and ridiculous and
gross,
sexy and cool.
And really, nobody you know,
Yeah.
You know, cast of unknowns.
I feel like they will all be known though.
Yeah, I do too.
Could be one of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. The other thing I watched that was big was Tour de Pharmacy.
I saw the thing for it, but I didn't watch it.
I only watched it because Jeff sent us a text about it, and I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put it on last night, and I was just sucked in. It's only 40-some minutes. It's
so
fucking
good.
Hilarious. What made you watch? I mean, how'd you find it?
It's one of those fake documentaries that Andy Samberg does on HBO. Like, he did that one about the tennis.
Which was awesome.
Game that lasted 7 days.
Yeah.
And then they did this one.
7 days in hell.
Yeah, 7 days in hell. And then they did this one about the Tour de France.
So the premise of Tour de Pharmacy is it's set in 1982 in a doping scandal. The Tour de France in 1982. And the footage supposedly from 1982 looks like it's from 1982. You know, whatever filter they used to make it look like it was shot on videotape and worn was great. But the cast was amazing. Andy Samberg played this guy named Marty Haas, who was an American raised in Nigeria. So he calls himself a Nigerian.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Yeah. Isn't that from a song? No, man, I don't know what you're talking about. In that scene, he's talking to...
bless the rains.
That's what he said.
All right, I'm in. Just with that one word.
They asked him about like some of the problems that are going on in Africa.
Yeah.
They think he's going to talk about like blood diamonds and shit, but he said, sometimes we run out of nerds.
Yeah.
And I get real mad, and then the store will get a bunch of new nerds.
He's talking to a BBC reporter named Rex Honeycutt, and he's played by James Marsden from
so funny.
What's that show that we all loved?
Westworld.
Yeah.
Marsden is, he's got some comedy chops on him, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's very funny.
Then you had, so he plays in the night, Andy Samberg, and then they have him in the current day.
Yeah, played by
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah.
Goldblum is.
And the only one I didn't get until I saw it at the end of the movie, Orlando Bloom plays Juju Pepe, the Italian cyclist who dies. I'm not going to ruin it for you. Freddie Highmore plays Adrian Baton, a French cyclist. Freddie Highmore is from Bates Motel.
Yeah.
And he's a woman who's trying to, they're all trying to be the first, whatever. I mean, I'm not even going to get into it.
Yeah.
But Julia Ormond plays him as an adult. David Diggs plays Slim Robinson, an American cyclist and a nephew of Jackie Robinson.
Fuck Jackie Robinson.
Who wants to be the first black guy to do something.
Yeah.
So he's like the first black guy to be a farmer and a cheat.
And that's his uncle. Jackie Robinson is his uncle.
Legit, like, yeah. And he wants to be the first black guy to win the Tour de France or even race in it. And then Danny Glover plays him as an adult. And he has the same, like, weird hair. John Cena was great.
He was so
Gustav
good.
Ditters, the Austrian cyclist. And the grown up was, or the older one is played by Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, yeah.
But Will Forte.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Maya Rudolph played an editor of a magazine called Cycling Enthusiast Magazine. She was great. Kevin Bacon was Dietmar Clerken. Very funny. Felicia Rashad.
Holy shit.
I'm going to try to say this. Adewale Akinnuye Agbaje.
Huh?
The guy from Oz.
Yeah, he was great.
Also, Mr. What on?
Yeah, he was like
Lost.
A real African guy.
He's a real Nigerian. Goes, I hate it.
Yeah. They all hate Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
How about that cartoon?
Yes. Oh, that was so fucking great. Yeah. That's the thing that Felicia Rashad made.
Right.
God. John Hamm is the narrator.
Right.
You have J.J. Abrams is in it. Mike Tyson's in it. Man, then I beat the shit out of him.
I know some guy that maybe you recognize, but they kept him in the dark the entire time.
You know when they do this thing and you can see.
They had his voice concealed, so you couldn't tell who it was at all, but that guy was pretty funny and talking about he seemed to have a lot of inside knowledge about
the doping and
Tour de France and the doping scandals and stuff. Yeah.
Maybe you should put on this jacket. This jacket feels great. Joe Buck.
They put that bicycle helmet on him. I think I'm more recognizable with my helmet on.
And of course, my favorite scene in the whole movie and the whole thing was Will Forte. He's just this French guy who accidentally accidentally gets shot with an amphetamine.
Yeah.
And it makes you horny. So he's like, please fuck me with this. Please fuck me with this. So Tour de Pharmacy, if you have HBO, definitely a good
so
watch.
So worth it.
Like a pistachio in a dirty bird's nest.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
I missed you last week, Ira. I haven't seen you forever.
Have you ever worked at a Red Box at the beach?
No.
What do they stick in there when you work at the beach, you think?
Those are like the top trolls.
Yeah, you don't want to get it if you're a top
stick
troll.
Like the bottom of a beach umbrella in there.
Yeah, it should be really, really good.
I would think it would only be beach movies like Hunk and Summer Rental and stuff like that.
One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer. What else is there? What's a good beach movie?
What year is that?
Beach when Blanket Bingo, starring Annette Funicello.
Jaws.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah. Could do Avalon.
So, there's new releases at the Redbox this week.
Yeah. So what's with this movie? Chips.
Chips.
I guess.
Hot on the heels of Food Fight, Warner Brothers brings you Chips. In a future world where the only thing to eat is potato chips, Callie and Trenisha must fight their way through the chip factory in order to stop the deadly and evil salt secretor from poisoning everyone in America. Starring David Thewlis as salt secretor. Emma Stone and Leslie Jones. Rated R.
That's why he survived Fargo, by the way, because, spoiler alert, he's a god.
That's right. Oh. He's Ares, the god of war and Wonder Woman.
I've heard.
That's great.
Spoiler alert.
What about the Power Rangers?
Four Japanese teenagers wear ugly spandex outfits and fist their way through San Francisco's Castro District. Rated NC-17 for adult language, strong sexual situation, proper usage, and proper usage of Crisco shortening and necrophilia.
Necrophilia?
What it says on the label.
They're fist dead bodies?
Fisting, yeah.
Jesus, God. Okay.
If they could show fisting on sci-fi, they could show it on NC-17.
They showed the boners.
I thought this was a kid's movie.
Speaking of cocks, there was lots of dicks in Tour de Pharmacy.
Flaccid ones.
Oh, you saw that too, huh?
I did.
Huh. There's a lot of big black...
You got
black...
HBO in the
I got
box.
The app on my iPhone. Oh, okay.
There's a lot of big black boxes on Blood Drive.
Yes, there are.
You wish you were in a black box?
I've had a black box in me. Wait, what? Go ahead. What's the last
what
movie?
About a, what about a cure for wellness?
Cam and Lisa's son Robert is a typical healthy teenager. Then that's the problem. Cam and Lisa are hypochondriacs, and their daughter Bessie suffers from Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Poor Robert is poisoned by his sister daily, only to have his problems cleared up by the time he sees his doctor. Will he ever get worse? It's a race to see who can kill him first. A Cure for Wellness. Starring that girl 11 from Stranger Things, Drew Barrymore, John Boyega, and Rob Reiner.
Why is Rob Reiner so
rated R. He's the doctor. John Boyega's the dad.
Oh, thank you so much for those.
Good synopsis.
Yeah, those are excellent.
Synapses.
Synapses.
Yeah. I don't want to see any of these movies.
Why not? I'd go see Cure for Wellness.
You wanted to see Chips at one time, if I remember correctly.
Well, now,
because it had Dax Shepard in it.
Yeah.
I like Dax Shepard.
Yeah, now I don't want to see it.
Hey, I have in my hands right now my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, the Patreons.
Oh, sweet.
I'm going to read the Patreons. Well, that was Rush.
Oh, I see.
Not a very good Rush, apparently.
Your microphone turned gold for a second there.
Yes. E-I-B. All right, let's talk to...
We're talking?
I don't know who what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I had a brain fart.
What's going on?
Speaking of Stranger Things, I almost sent that thing to Ira that I sent to you.
Oh.
What?
I did not send it to Ira.
Before we get to the Patreon.
I want to know.
Jeff, you got to tell this little story about the video you sent me. And what was my reply to you?
Something like Jesus.
No, I just wrote Christ.
Christ. Yeah, that's right.
Jeff sends me this video. He says Stranger Things. So I'm out.
I said Stranger Things.
Yeah, he said Stranger Things. And I looked at him like, oh, it's that girl. The girl who liked my Radio Labyrinth shirt, by the way, at Littles in Cabbage Town.
Okay.
I see her in a whole new light now. Jeff sends me this video, and I'm like, oh, it's strange. I wonder if it's a trailer for Stranger Things. What is it?
I thought it was a trailer. It's the trailer for Stranger Things.
First of all, where did you find it, and what is it?
It's on Vimeo. It's called, I forget what it's, what was it? Yes, God, Yes?
Yes. It's called Yes, God, Yes.
It's just like a short film that someone made, and it's about like a girl, a Christian at a Catholic school.
Yeah.
First of all, it's set probably in the early to mid 90s because she has AOL.
Right. And she's like just getting on the internet for the first time or whatever. And
playing trivia in one of those old trivia. Yeah,
and like a JPEG pops up that shows like two people fucking. And she's like, oh my God. And she like shuts it off real quick. And she's like, Mom, Dad. And they don't answer. So she like pulls it back up and she's like looking at it. And then a chat box pops up and says, hey, want a cyber? She's like, I don't know.
What does that mean?
And she goes to school, and the priest is talking about, like, you can't do all these sins and blah, blah, blah. You can't have sex until you're married and all this stuff. And she's like, at the end, she's like doing a little diddling.
Are you ready for some podcast math? Here's a little description.
Oh, jeez.
15-year-old Alice has always been a good Catholic. But when an innocent AOL chat turns unexpectedly racy, she finds herself suddenly obsessed with masturbating. Yes, God, Yes, the short film starring Natalia Dyer, premiered online as a Vimeo staff pick on July 5th, 2017. Watch it here. Written and directed by Karen Main, produced by Katie Cordell and Colleen Hammond and Karen Main. Yes, God, Yes, the feature film is currently in development. So,
ooh, feature film.
Yeah.
But wait a second. Oh, wait. So is this a goof? Is this like a...
No, it's a real
tongue-in-cheek thing?
It's like a short movie.
It's a finger and snatch thing.
Somebody made to try and get a full
Yeah, but is it a Christian, like, kind of moral movie?
It sounds like a Kevin Smith movie.
Right.
No, nothing like that. It's one of those... First of
I'm
all,
confused.
It's completely done by women. So they can get away with all this stuff, and they're masturbating and wanting to fuck her priest, and the priest is looking at porn. So.
That's how I Love Dick is. That show is a freak fest.
I Love Dick?
Oh, yeah.
Have you started that?
Yeah,
that's
on Amazon.
I like it. It's the Kevin Bacon.
It's all written by chicks. It's like a porn.
Huh. Yeah?
Yeah.
Good porn?
I can't stop watching it.
Women are dirty little bitches. But yeah, Jeff, thanks for sending me that. It was an interesting evening last night.
I almost sent it to Ira, but I decided I better not.
Why?
Why?
I don't know.
I'm married. You don't think my wife would hate that?
Yeah, she probably would.
She would hate it.
My kids have been getting into my phone.
Yeah, I texted my friend Larry something like a quote from the Jerky Boys. I was like, hey, you motherfucker. And he goes, and my daughter read that. And he goes, Daddy, why is your phone have a swear word on it?
No, I'm one of those parents that do not let the kids have my phone. So go.
All right, I'll forward
send me
it
whatever.
To you.
All right. So I'm going to read the Patreons, and then we're going to get to our indie films. How about that? By the way, if you are an existing patron.
Patreon.
Of Patreon. It's patreon.com/Tim Andrews. If you sign up, you are eligible for next month's drawing of the Burger Box Burger of the Month. How about that?
All right.
But I like it.
Yeah, well, they announced it on the first, so when the first rolls around, we'll talk about the next month's burger.
That's right. But you can go look on their website right now. But
yeah, sign up for Patreon or write us a review, and you're entered.
All right. So I want to thank our producers this month, Wendy Muller, Chris Colhard. It's very small print. Mac Kennan, Zach Pittman, JB, Beth Van Elswick, also known as Angel, Lou Caniglio, Mike Hall, David C. Funk, Matt Carter, Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, Amber Gilpatrick, she won the very first giveaway, Keith Tate, Herb Lamb, Jose Perales, and Dustin Lawler. Thank you guys very, very much. Dustin Lawler, by the way, is new.
Yay!
Yeah, we thought that was him that wrote the review last week, but it turns out it wasn't him.
All right, you guys want to talk about some indie movies?
Yeah.
So we decided for Independence Day last week, we didn't do the show because Jeff and I went out to dinner. We were going to do independent films, our favorite ones of all time. We each will pick five. I think we picked more than that. I didn't pick any.
No, I put a few. I was conflicted.
Conflicted. It is difficult. It is very difficult.
Well, because I put movies on there that maybe were not independents, and then I couldn't. I don't know.
It's difficult to see. But
all you guys took all mine anyway. So go ahead. Yeah. We'll talk about all of them.
Steph, why don't you go first?
Okay. All right. Well, I will start. Where is my crap at? Okay. So
your butthole.
You know, that's technically true.
It is technically. Okay. So I'll start with number five. I'm going to count backwards. Oh. Number five would be the amazing David Fincher film Seven.
Yes.
Which one would not think that is this an independent film?
I know.
Because it seems like a big budget film.
That was a big film.
I wouldn't have picked that because I would have been thinking Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey.
It is an independent film.
Yeah.
If you look this one up, it is an independent film.
I didn't have time to research all this shit.
Great movie. Obviously, we all know what's in the box. Classic film.
What's in the box?
So, Seven is definitely my number five. My number four, one of my favorite movies of all time. I've seen it a hundred...
Agreed.
Gadrillion, kachillion times. Rushmore. Yes. I love this movie.
Great movie.
Great soundtrack. It makes me cry. Bill Murray and... Schwartzman. I don't think Schwartzman's ever been better than he was as a child in this movie.
I have to agree with you there.
I don't know. Did you ever see Spun?
Yeah.
So good movie.
I mean,
Schwartzman at his best.
I liked him in, the show that he used to do with Danson.
Yeah, I love that show, too.
That was a great show, too. I mean, he's funny. It's just, he's perfection in this movie.
He's awesome. Wes Anderson directed it.
Yes.
Brian Cox is also in it. He's amazing. I love Brian Cox.
Oh, the scenes between him and Brian Cox are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole Edward Appleby thing, him in love with the thing, and then Bill Murray.
Bill Murray should have been nominated for an Oscar for that movie. Totally ripped off, because that was his first real big, I'm a serious actor, right?
No.
I think so.
Not the first.
Razor's Edge was
Razor's Edge.
Oh, okay.
But this was like the one that you were...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You really paid attention to him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, great soundtrack, too.
Yeah, the soundtrack is... I listen to the soundtrack all... I still listen to it all the time. I'll pull it up all the time. My number three, this began my sickening obsession with Vince Vaughn, and it was only because he looked like Paul Newman until he got fat and bloated and gross.
Okay.
Look like Paul
Swingers.
Newman?
Swingers. 1996.
Yes. 1996, Jon Favreau.
So Money.
So Money. Baby, Beautiful Babies Everywhere. I loved this movie. I thought it was hilarious. It was different than anything that was out at the time.
That's where I got the you're doing the thing, it's the thing.
There's so many iconic scenes from this movie. A lot of great actors from this flick. I don't want to take up all the time. But anyway, Swingers, I'm sure everybody's seen
of course,
Swingers. Come
sure.
on. My number two, if
because you groans up and you groans up, and I'm the asshole. I would never eat here anyway. Fucking
come on, Sue.
This 50-cent pieces. If you hurry up with that drink, don't be an asshole.
He was great in Spider-Man Homecoming 2, by the way.
Who? Oh, Vince Vaughn?
No.
Oh, who does Favreau play?
He plays Happy, what's his name? The same character he always plays in all of them.
Who's Uncle Gilmore, or who plays Uncle Ben, or is he dead?
No, he's dead.
All right. You know you're old when Marissa Tomei is playing Aunt May.
Yeah.
But she didn't play it like an old Aunt May,
no,
did she?
No, but like, she, cool. Yeah, I know, but Aunt May, whatever.
Well, she's in her 50s.
Yeah, I know.
She's a hot 50-year-old,
Michael Keaton, though, so good.
As the Vulture?
Yep.
As right. always.
Yeah, Michael Keaton's great.
My number two, I mean, if you are a Wes Anderson fan, you can't really call yourself one unless you've seen Bottle Rocket, mm-hmm. and you've seen it a ton of times. That was like my introduction to him.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie. The Wilson brothers, Owen and Luke. Yeah. Owen at his, I think that's his funniest movie still to this day.
James Caan.
Him as Dignan. Mm-hmm. It's so understated and subtle, and there's so many good laughs. Yeah, Jimmy Caan. And just the scene at the end when they go to rob that place, and it just all goes to hell in a handbasket, and that's just it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. So Bottle Rocket, if you've never seen
but
it.
But when you see James Caan with his crew at the guy's house, it's like holy shit!
It is great. And then my number one favorite of all time, Welcome to the Dollhouse, Todd Solondz. Love this movie. Yeah.
Because you're a sick fuck.
I'm a sick fuck. If you were ever a kid who was picked on or treated like shit when you were, I was one of those kids. I was a fat kid.
I'm gonna rape you.
I was a fat kid, and I went to a mostly black school, so I got the shit kicked out of me all the time. I got treated like crap. So this movie, I definitely identified with
you
it.
Light of my life.
But a few things about this movie. If you didn't know anything about Welcome to the Dollhouse, you know, it's the story of Dawn Wiener, who her family pretty much treats her like crap, and they treat her sister, her little sister, who is much cuter than her, like a queen and a princess. And right. Dawn gets nothing. Yeah. And, you know, her name's Dawn Wiener. I mean, everybody at school treats her like garbage. Brendan, the local jerkwad, you know, he threatens to rape her at 3 o'clock and all this other stuff.
But she shows up and he's not there.
Yeah. No, he does show up, but he just doesn't rape her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just pretends like he's going to. But in the original screenplay, Todd Solondz, he did have a raper.
Oh.
Then
he decided it was too dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which it was too dark.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're looking back. But just a few little facts about that is that he was inspired by The Wonder Years.
Oh.
The show is what inspired him to write this screenplay. And he had given up on Hollywood when he wrote it. He did a movie in 89 that tanked, and he walked away from it. He taught English to Russian immigrants for 5 years. And then he had a friend who said, please, just try it one more time. And so he submitted this screenplay. He got backing, and then he made this movie. And
awesome.
Then he kept on going. And then it was during this movie is when Heather Matarazzo, the one who played Dawn, realized that she was gay at 12 years old.
Huh. Oh.
Because they kept calling her lesbo, and she realized, oh, I am a lesbo.
Yeah, they made her one.
Yeah, basically.
Great. Thanks, Hollywood.
And basically, then she is a lesbo.
Queering up
thanks,
all of our
Jews.
Kids.
And and this movie also inspired the writer-director of Cruel Intentions.
Hmm.
He saw this movie, and he thought, what a
stop
fucked
that.
Up high school. And he said, why don't I take Dangerous Liaisons? Hmm. Put that in a high school, and bam.
That is
you don't
the
hear much
kiss,
about that movie.
The best lesbian kiss I've ever seen.
Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Is it Gellar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
Jeff? Denise Richards? No.
No.
No, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, right.
No. No. Sarah what? Michelle Gellar and some brunette.
Reese Witherspoon.
It's that girl from the other Todd Solondz movie.
Oh, jeez.
Now we're all dumb.
You're talking about Reese Witherspoon was Ryan Felipe's, the one
yeah,
who was pursuing.
I'm going to look it up.
F me.
Are you trying to tell me that she's not in it? Because you're not saying that she's not in it, right? Because she was in it. That's where they met, and then they got married after that.
Who are these actresses? Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair.
Selma Blair. F me.
But Reese Witherspoon was in it.
Yes, she was.
Okay. I thought you were just trying to say that she wasn't in it. Okay.
Right.
All
right.
But my honorable mentions real quick, Whiplash. 2014, if you guys haven't seen that, such a great movie.
I like it.
Intense as hell. I love that movie. J.K. Simmons, he won the Oscar. The Good Girl, 2002. Jennifer Aniston.
That is a good movie.
One of my favorite movies that she ever did. Jake Gyllenhaal when he's super young.
Yep.
Mike White, the one who did School of Rock. He wrote the screenplay for it. And
was in it.
Yes, and he's so good in that. Killing Them Softly, one of James Gandolfini's last films, and he's so good in it. It's Brad Pitt,
He's great in anything, but yeah, I know.
Killing Them Softly is such a good little gangster movie. It was kind of flew under the radar. That. Not a lot of people saw it, and it's so good, you guys. Ray Liotta, it's one of his best performances in a long time. So if you haven't seen that one, Killing Them Softly, The Cooler, love this movie.
Love The Cooler.
The Cooler, William H. Macy, Alec Baldwin.
What's her name?
The gay chick. What's her name? The blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, name or something.
Yeah. Anyway. And then my other one is Broken Flowers.
I like Broken. See, I can't say those words.
Broken Flowers.
Maria Bello. Is that
Maria Bello.
Estella Warren. Hubba.
Spanish name.
Jim Jarmusch. Yeah. And Bill Murray says that Broken Flowers is the most favorite movie that he ever did.
Wow.
I like that scene where the girl comes out and she's standing there naked for.
The Lolita?
An uncomfortable amount of time, yes.
Very uncomfortable amount of time. Very uncomfortable.
I liked Broken Flowers, but I was such a Jarmusch fan at the time.
You're a Dead Man guy.
I wanted Dead Man. I wanted Stranger Than Paradise. Right. And, you know, and I was like, I don't know.
I still really liked
it. It's good, yes.
And that's it. I'm done.
Okay. Oh,
can I take a moment to retract my song that I sang? Because I fucked up. That was from Happiness, not from Welcome to the Dawn.
What song?
You Light Up My Life.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at Tim's list, and it said Happiness, and it fucked my brain.
No, mine was Welcome to the Dollhouse. Remember?
No.
The band, we got it all put up for you. She's sitting on the car. Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Jeff and I have some we've crossed some streams.
Yeah, I got some
don't cross the streams, because it would be bad.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll start at the bottom, too, like Steph did. Slacker. 1991.
Good movie.
Yep.
Number four, Heathers, which we talked about a little.
Excellent.
Heathers is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Totally.
It was hard for me to go back that far, though. And what year is Heathers? That's
1988.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like I consider independent movies like in the 90s for some reason. I don't know why. You know what I mean?
Well, Sex, Lies, and Videotape was the first big one that got everybody
into. It was 91, right?
And before that.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in the 80s.
88 or 89.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Number three.
Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream.
Mm. Ass to ass.
Ass to ass.
So gross.
I know.
Number two, I got Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs tied.
I mean.
I didn't realize that Pulp Fiction was an indie movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Reservoir Dogs, I knew, but
See? This is what I'm dealing with.
And of course, number one is Clerks.
Knew that.
Yeah. Reservoir Dogs, there is nothing like fucking Reservoir
Dogs. I love Reservoir Dogs. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do like it better than Pulp Fiction, I will admit.
No, I don't.
I do, too.
It's just so raw, and at the time when that came, there was just nothing that I had ever seen
that was like
that. I've
watched that movie like 20 times, and I still don't know who killed Nice Guy Eddie.
Yeah.
I had some honorable mentions, too, but they're on your list. Some of them are on your list, Tim, so maybe we'll...
Go ahead, I don't care. Talk about them more. You just read them.
Secretary.
Uh-huh.
American Splendor.
Love Secretary.
And American Beauty.
American Beauty, Spacey got an Oscar for that, Best Actor.
I was thinking about that movie recently. I haven't seen it in forever.
Ira, you want to do yours?
Yeah, I just threw a couple on there, but hey, you can call
an audible.
I don't even
see them on here.
Yeah, I put Primer from 2004, which, you like that one?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about that movie on this podcast before. It's very raw, actually. I mean, that's an indie movie about these. How do you even explain that? It's like tech guys that are doing almost like a startup in their garage. But they're building shit, and
I've seen it. It's a trip.
Inadvertently build kind of like a time machine mechanism, but it's not. It's very real. And the guys that wrote and did the film are engineers, and it's very. It'll fuck your head up, but it's just it's very real. I put Glengarry Glen Ross. What do you think?
Great,
Is that independent?
Yeah, it is.
Phenomenal.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about that? Pacino, Ed Harris, Kevin Spacey. Right.
It's Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon. The
when are we
going to
get the good names?
The Alec Baldwin scene, obviously, that everybody knows.
Closers.
Brass balls. I could watch that movie fucking every day.
Isn't that his name, though, Pacino? Richard Roma.
Yeah, Richard Roma. Ed Harris.
Yeah, they're all
so
great.
It's just monologue after monologue after monologue.
Oh, it's a play. That's why.
Yeah. Mammoth, right?
Yeah. David
and Mammoth. Then actually when I was writing Glengarry, Glenn Ross, it reminded me of Boiler Room with Giovanni Ribisi.
That's a good one.
Too.
Which is great. And that's almost like a Dazed and Confused kind of cast. There was a lot of guys in that cast that are big now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vin Diesel. And
now, we found out subsequently that we left a lot of good movies off the list, but this is personal, so if you guys want to...
Right, like the Bobcat Goldthwait movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Steph brought up that none of us picked any of them, but...
If you're listening to
all
this...
All of them should be on our list.
I know, right?
Yeah.
At @radio_labyrinth or post them to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
No, you have any more?
I put those three, sorry.
Okay, that's cool.
I fell short.
Yeah, that would be nice if everybody would list their favorite indies.
Yeah. My favorite indie.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
In the Temple of Doom. All right, here's mine, starting with number 5, Reservoir Dogs from 1992, which Jeff just talked about. Cast. Of course, it was Tarantino's first big film. It features Harvey Keitel, Michael Madsen, Steve Buscemi, Chris Penn, Lawrence Tierney, Tim Roth, and, of course, Tarantino.
Looks like The Thing.
Stephen Wright as the disc jockey on that radio station. Yeah. Billy great movie. Just a lot of good pop culture. That story about Madonna and the dick. Fantastic. Yeah.
Killer soundtrack.
He doesn't tip.
No. Empire Magazine calls it the greatest independent film of all time.
I would agree.
And I have to agree with them too, except for I have it at number 5. The soundtrack was good. Number 4, Blood Simple.
Now, is this the only Coen Brothers film you could put as an indie?
No. My number 1 is an indie. Anyway, Blood Simple from 1984.
Yeah, but...
It's a neo-noir crime film written, edited, produced, directed, and everything by Joel and Ethan Coen. It is where Joel met Frances McDormand, who is the female lead in the movie. It also stars Dan Hedaya and Emmett Walsh.
She looked great in that movie.
The movie comes from Hammett novel Red Harvest from 1929. Which the term blood simple describes the addled, fearful mindset of people after a prolonged immersion in violent situations. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I saw the director's cut in 2001, and this movie ranks 98th on AFI's 100 Years, 100 Thrills. It's number 73 in Bravo's 100 Scariest Movie Moments. Great movie.
Yeah.
You can hear the heart. You can see the sweat and the way it's shot. Everything's great.
The bullet holes through the wall.
Yeah.
The light.
It's the best. Fucking beautiful. All right, number 3, The Usual Suspects from 1995.
Oh, guys are
so great.
Kevin Spacey got an Oscar, his first Oscar for this film.
That movie fucked me
Nermal
up.
Kent.
It's a great movie, directed by Brian Singer, written by Christopher McQuarrie.
Give me the keys, you cocksucker, motherfucker!
Give me the keys, you cocksucker, what the fuck?
Stephen
Baldwin, Gabriel Byrne, Benicio del Toro, Kevin Pollak, Chaz Palminteri, and a bunch of other people. Oh, of course, Kevin Spacey and Pete Postlethwaite. I guess that's the guy everybody thought was Kaiser Soze. You know, his Man Friday. Great movie. Happiness, 1998. The most
You're the sick fuck.
Very disturbing, very disturbing Todd Solondz movie.
I was thinking about that movie when you were talking about Welcome to the Dollhouse. I was fucking up. Sorry.
Happiness is about three sisters, their families, and those around them. The film was highly controversial for its heavy sexual themes, particularly its portrayal of pedophilia. It's pretty gruesome. My BM had blood in it. This Sunday...
that's the guy who's playing Carson on to
Dylan Baker,
here, right?
Dylan Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The Sundance Film Festival refused to accept it because it was too dirty.
Yeah.
Jane Addams, Dylan Baker, Laura Flynn Boyle, Ben Gazzara, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who would masturbate into the phone book and then stick the cum-stuck papers on his wall. John Lovitz and Cameron Mannheim, and more. And number 1, The Big Lebowski from 1998, written, produced, and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen.
You know, if I would have realized that this is my favorite movie of all time. If I had realized this was independent.
It's up there with mine as well. Jeff Bridges is Jeffrey Lebowski. John Goodman is Walter Sobchak. Julianne Moore is Maude Lebowski. Steve Buscemi is Donnie. And featuring the late David Huddleston, plus John Turturro, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Sam Elliott, Tara Reid, David Thewlis in Flea. David Thewlis was one of the nihilists.
That's so cool.
Oh, no. David Thewlis is... the guy sitting in Maude's house laughing.
Yeah,
oh.
the with the cleft asshole.
Yeah.
That is him. Oh, my God.
Yes.
No, are you going to see, what do you guys think about the side movie that they're making?
Side movie?
They're making a movie with just Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I'm
going to see places.
Making that. I don't think the Coen brothers.
No, they have nothing to do with it.
They gave him permission to do it.
Right.
So, yeah.
You think it's going to be good?
Of course. I like John Turturro's great.
Yeah.
It's a spinoff?
Yeah.
Sort of.
But it's just a movie with Jesus.
You know
it.
People will go see that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Extend the lore. My honorable mentions, American Splendor from 2003, Paul Giamatti, Hope Davis, Judah Friedlander, James Urbaniak, and Harvey Pekar himself. Movies about Harvey Pekar.
God, that's such a great movie.
Rushmore. Pie, Darren Aronofsky's movie Pie. Fucking love that. Have you ever seen that?
Absolutely.
So intense. Fucking brilliant film.
Well, Salamanca's in this.
Yeah.
Right?
So, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hector Salamanca.
Hector
from
Salamanca.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Brown.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Very underrated Tarantino film.
Subsequent. I always have trouble with that word. Watchings of that movie. I saw it in a theater. And this happened to everybody.
First time you saw it, you're like, this is
good.
Tarantino.
And then you catch it on TV, you're like, God, this is really fucking good.
Stolen Oscar. Robert Forster should have got an Oscar.
Oh, absolutely. Max Cherry.
Fucking brilliant.
So good.
Jackie Brown was Pam Grier. Mm-hmm. She's busted smuggling money. Ordell Robbie. Samuel L. Jackson was great. A lot of good quotes from that movie. You got Michael Keaton in it playing
Bridget
a role that
Fonda.
He played. He played the same character.
Yeah.
In the... What's the guy's name? Steven Soderbergh, Out of Sight.
Out of Sight. Mm-hmm. Could that be one? I'm put that on my list.
That's a feature.
Son of a bitch.
But.
It's the vacuum out there.
Oh, the vacuum in the hallway. Robert De Niro, Robert Forster. Well, fuck. Bridget Fonda and Chris Tucker. So there's my independent film.
Well, and De Niro in that movie was so un-De Niro.
Yeah, he was just a dope.
Yeah,
he
was just like this.
That scene.
I had a big Bridget Fonda thing back then, too.
I don't know how many times I've thought of that scene whenever Sam Jackson, whenever he says, used to be beautiful, man. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody starts sucking ass whenever they used to do something good, I always think of that and wish I could kill them.
Wait, can I fill out my list real quick? I thought of two while we were talking. Gus Van Sant films.
Quick.
To Die For.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. It's one of my favorites.
And Drugstore Cowboy.
Both of those are great.
All right, sorry, go on.
All right. We got to bust through dick pics. Mine's real simple. Final season of The Strain.
When's that start?
That starts on July 16th, I believe.
Cool.
And this wraps it all up. It's post-nuclear war and effing everybody. They've left New York City. So check that out. Also, of course, I think we can all agree that this coming Sunday is the Game of Thrones. So there's my pick.
It's only six episodes of Game of Thrones, right? And then we got to wait a year.
Yeah, but they're going to be long, though. Like that last episode's going to be an hour and a half, and some of the other episodes are going to be longer than an hour. But then
shame.
But then one episode's only going to be 50 minutes.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
Sucks.
It looks like Cersei and her brother aren't going to be banging anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
They broke up.
Oh.
They did?
Looks like they're going to be broke up.
So she's available?
Jamie's going a different way. I think Jamie's going to hook up.
You going to fuck his midget brother?
Stupid.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
That's what the Redbox troll told me.
Yeah, he's going to fuck the midget. Get out of here. No, he's going to fuck. Get out of here.
Stop it, you fuck. Why didn't you let him out the door, Ira?
He's fighting Dinklage over the box.
Oh, my God.
That's right, Dinklage.
Rubbing his own nub.
Is his understudy.
I'll kill you with
the
finger.
Oh. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were playing Game of Trolls.
No.
Okay. My top pick, I love this. Freaking found this podcast last month. It started at the beginning of last month. I'm a car freak. Everybody knows that about me. There used to be a show. It was on Esquire, which Esquire is no more. It was Spike Feresteyn. He was a comedy writer. He wrote for Seinfeld.
Letterman, didn't he?
Letterman. You name it, Saturday Night Live, whatever. Well, he had a show called Car Matchmaker on Esquire for a couple of seasons, and it was such a great show. And anyway, Esquire took a shit. He's big friends with Seinfeld, and they're both Porsche freaks and car nuts and all this other shit. And usually they would meet at the Malibu Kitchen, and they talk about cars or whatever. So now he's doing a podcast from there, and he gets, like, celebrities to meet him at the Malibu porch, and they just talk about their cars and all this other kind of stuff. And if you love cars, I mean, it's just, it's like car porn, basically. And but if you love entertainment, too.
Click and clap.
Remember that show?
Yeah, I do.
Car Talk on NPR.
I was never a fan of Car Talk.
It's not like driving Toyota.
Yeah, no.
It's not like that. I mean, like the first four episodes have already aired. I listened to all four episodes in a day and a half. I mean, it just I couldn't stop listening to the show. And awesome. And then their attorney Paul Zuckerman, he's also another rich fuck that has like a million cars. He's on there all the time. The first four episodes, you got Seinfeld on the first episode.
Yeah,
Paul Zuckerman's. So the first episode, you got Seinfeld. Second episode, I think it was Jeremy Piven.
Piven, yeah.
And then Chris Hardwick, Russell Peters. Chris Hardwick, by the way, I didn't realize that he was such a car guy. Yeah. He doesn't know a lot about cars. He just likes them, and he has money. And
well, now he can afford to buy them.
Right.
This motherfucker. Okay, so he didn't come to the porch. Dude went to his house. And I got sick of hearing about how awesome Hardwick's house is. So I Googled his house. Okay, you know Hardwick lives in this $11 million old Hollywood mansion. And I know he's got a lot of shows, but goddamn, that's a big-ass house.
Yeah.
Plus so he's married to
Lydia Hearst.
Lydia Hearst.
The freaking heiress to the Randolph Hearst.
Oh, so it's not his house.
Bitch is worth $100 million.
Yeah,
that's his wife.
That's not his house.
Good for him.
I had no idea. But I think he really loves her, which is
crazy. Yeah, he talks
crazy.
About her a lot on the Nerdist.
I mean, he works 7 days a week.
Did she ever get kidnapped?
Well, we could arrange something.
But his house.
Is she Patty Hearst's daughter?
Maybe granddaughter? Because she's only 30. Anyway. But she's only 30. But anyway, so Spike's Car Radio, that's on podcast,
iTunes.
Does
he make fun of the Dodge Neon on the podcast?
They make fun of everything. I mean, so
he made fun of that on the show, and I tweeted him one time, and he retweeted it.
Oh, did he really? I love Spike.
It was
back,
it was back when he had the show, and he was like, hey, you're better than being some jerk in a Dodge Neon. And I said, hey, I have a Dodge Neon. And he retweeted me.
That's funny.
Okay, so anyway, so listen to that podcast. And the show, there's a show that's coming on AMC July 17th at 10 p.m. It's called Loaded, and it's a British show. It was on Channel 4 that they picked up, and it's about these four tech guys who sell their app or whatever, and all of a sudden they become billionaires. And it's them, and they're very young, and it's them trying to navigate their way of suddenly becoming very rich and not knowing what the hell to do. And it's supposed to be, it sounds really good. It's like a dramedy or whatever. So anyway, it's called Loaded, and it's going to be on AMC starting July 17th, 10 p.m. Like I said, British show. And the Defiant Ones, watch that. It's still going on for the next couple days on HBO.
She is Patty Hearst's daughter.
Oh, she is Patty Hearst's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tweet Steph and ask what else you should watch.
That's it. I'm done. I'm done.
No, seriously.
Seriously.
She's got it all. I want to. No, like, Steph has turned me on to so much stuff
I know.
That I love
Steph
now.
Knows shit.
I know. I'm serious. I'm not breaking
do
your balls.
Do you know anything about that show on Viceland that I was going to pick, but I took it off my list?
I don't know anything about that yet. No. See, I don't know
what
everything.
I took it off the, I took it off the list, but it was on tonight.
But seriously, the Defiant Ones, Jeff did not want to watch it. The thing with Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, which the documentary, it was started last night. There's an episode on tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night. That is so fucking well done.
Did y'all watch The Crack Show?
I liked it.
Snowfall? I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet?
No.
I liked it.
It's okay. Good.
You didn't like the CIA guy getting coke blown up his ass.
It was pretty gross.
You got one?
The only thing I watched while I was at the beach was Blood Drive. So,
okay. Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it, Iris says watch it.
Well, no. So I was going to say, I did listen to a lot of music. I would recommend, if you guys aren't familiar with them already, St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
They're fucking great.
Yes. So both albums, their newest album came out late last year. So I had gotten that one right before I left.
We call the guy Baby Teeth, the lead singer.
great summertime music. Get both albums. It's like, they're from Birmingham, Alabama. They recorded in Muscle Shoals like all those bands did. And they're kind of Motown and
oh, really? What's
Sharon
their name
Josie
again?
And Jonesy.
There's
and
a little bit
Dap
of them.
Kingsies and
after this
guy's voice is ridiculous. And they're just like Birmingham. They're almost local guys.
You can find this on Live and Breathing if you go to YouTube and type in Live and Breathing.
Live and Breathing.
It's a YouTube channel.
So great, man. Sit on the deck.
Very.
Drink.
It reminds me of The Commitments.
Oh. And listen to this. Wait for this guy's voice.
This guy looks like the biggest nerd on earth. Yeah. He looks like a bank teller.
Yeah. He opens his mouth and it's like
pure heaven. Wait. Yeah. Wait for it. Don't kick us off. Oh, we're not online.
Right.
Soulful.
Yeah. He looks like the lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies.
Heaven's so bad.
He also looks like Frankie the Weatherman.
What?
It's going to be rain and it's snowing in California. It's going to have all sorts of rain and powder. Looks like that guy.
Atlanta.
Get your Chinese food and all your pizzas and everything and order them today and your milk and bread. All right, there's St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
I have to pull that up for sure.
Yeah, Jeff, you'll like them.
Ooh, you
like
said Muscle Shoals. That is still mm-hmm. Muscle Shoals. That's like one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. If you've never seen
watch that.
True TV shows are starting up this week. Adam Ruins Everything starts July 11th. Which probably be yesterday if you're listening to the podcast on Wednesday.
I hope like hell they got rid of his fucking sister because she ruined it last season.
I like her.
Adam's sister that's ruins Adam Ruins
God,
Everything.
I can't even that's look at her. I want to smack her stupid face off her head.
Yeah, she's funny. And Impractical Jokers comes back Thursday.
Don't spoil any of the jokes because Jeff's going on the cruise.
No, the live show is totally different than the TV show.
You're going to have to interview them again or get some new interviews too when you go. And if there's a comedian on there, get that interview.
There's a bunch of them. Bert Kreischer's the headliner for the comedians.
Cool. Oh, you got to interview him.
Yeah. Bert will talk to you.
Hopefully.
He's such a sweet little baby.
Might wear a shirt.
All right, guys. I had fun tonight. Did you guys have fun tonight? Ira, I'm glad you could make it again.
No, thanks for having me.
When are you going to be back?
Where, to this show?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been doing like an every two other week thing, haven't I?
You still doing Contractor's Corner?
We're supposed to.
All right.
I invited you on the show because you have a lot of house.
Sorry.
Disgusting. And
I know. Steph hates that.
Sucker.
And gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
God, I got to get out of here. I am so sorry to end the show this negatively. I feel bad.
That's
I'm not
negative.
Well, Stephanie
it's
hates
gassy.
It.
Oh, it is gross. Can I just say that if you are a vet tech or if you know any veterinarians that you could shame into coming to Gwinnett County and
shame.
And donating their time to clipping the dog's nails, that would be very nice of you because
they only have
vets to come in and do the spay and neuters and that's it. So if you're a vet tech or something like that, you want to like do something good.
My name's Ruth. I'll come do it.
Come and clip their nails, man, because they really need it.
I got my vet tech degree up at Brunel up in Gainesville.
Well, I could go up there with a belt sander.
All right, this has been Ruth closing out Radio Labyrinth. Me and my partner, Jill, we're going to go do some vet tech stuff tonight. Have you heard those Dynavite commercials on the radio?
No.
You know what Dynavite is?
No.
It's this dog food that's like will cure your dog of all its disease. Guy calls, he got a dog, he found a dog, and the dog is hairy, and every dog has got mats and stuff. We got Dynavite, and now he's great. He's a German shepherd, not a German shepherd. Anyway, whatever. You guys don't listen to right-wing talk radio. All right, guys.
It's got electrolytes.
Why can't we get Dynavite to sponsor our shit? Why can't we get that?
I don't know. Dynavite only sponsors right-wing radio. We could get Blindster.
All right. Well, I love right-wing stuff.
Are you tired of being a landlord and collecting rent? Anyway... I'm Sean Hannity. I don't understand anything. All right, I'm done. All right. Till next week, please remember to
keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.